It's always fun for me to be able to share about developing a lifestyle of prayer in whatever aspect that God allows. And so as many of us gathered last spring and we looked at the idea of seeking God and talked with others, Tony and I talked a lot about what's next. And at that point, God had really put it on my heart and mind to encourage and teach about praying for the church. And I think sometimes we hear that and we say, well, of course I pray for the church. I mean, I go to church. But I wonder, in most of our lives, what that really looks like. And so this morning we're going to look at four areas, and my plan is to spend about 45 minutes total in each area, which gets us out at noon, which is my promise and goal. I don't know if it's my promise, because that's a pretty strong word in my mind, but my goal at least. But as we consider praying for the church, I wonder how often that's first in whatever we set our mind to doing within the church body. In my experience, I think we're pretty good in our human mind at planning and coming up with some ideas. And sometimes those come out of prayer, and they're ideas that God has given us. But many times in our present culture, they come out of life and what we saw work somewhere else and what we've heard that has good results. And we see what that church over there is doing and people are flocking to it, and we think, wow, we need to do that. And so we go to God and say, God, we want to do that because look what it does. And yet we've already made our plans. And if we pray about it at all, it's more of a secondary asking God or telling God to make our plans work like it did over there. And I'm not sure that really encompasses what Jesus had in mind for the church. And so we're going to begin. The first topic is praying for the church with wisdom. I set out some table talk cards, and I don't know if everybody participated in that, but one of those was about wisdom, and it really began with the question, what in the world is wisdom? And so, any thoughts, and whether that was your table or not, but how would you define wisdom?
It's more than knowledge.
Okay.
You know all things. If you don't demonstrate love or strength, or, you know, it used to be not long ago, what would Jesus do in the situation? Just because you're smart, it doesn't mean you're wise.
Okay. So it has to be something bigger than knowledge, bigger than accumulation of information. Okay, humbleness and common sense. Humble as common sense, okay. I kind of like,
okay.
Okay. Wisdom deals with the Spirit working through you. It deals with experience within God's Spirit in your life. I think one of the things that's important is to recognize the starting point. It's always fascinating. I've used this illustration before. If you're going to get to a destination and you're not sure how to get there, oftentimes we think the most important information is the directions. Well, the directions without knowing your starting point is really kind of pointless. And the Bible says the starting point, the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. And so as we consider how we pray for the church with wisdom, I begin to wonder and I have to ask, how much fear of the Lord is present in my prayers? As I think about praying with wisdom, I wonder what or who first comes to mind when you think about praying for the church. What's that?
What or who
would come to mind when you first think of praying for the church?
I would just say Jesus.
Okay. Jesus. And I think that's where we want to head with this, but I think oftentimes, you know, it's always interesting the answers I get from a group that has gathered to learn and practice prayer, because it's generally different than just the general population of a church, as far as the answers go. Many times when I talk to people about praying for the church, their mind immediately goes to the building and the property. And they'll spend their time, and there's nothing wrong with praying about the building and the property that God allows the church body to meet and to use in. But if that's your focus, if that's all that you're concerned about, you're really, I think, missing the heart of what God wants us to pray. But that becomes the world's definition of the church. It's the place. Sometimes when I talk to people about praying for the church, their mind immediately thinks of the church staff, the people that work there, the people that minister, in their mind, sometimes the only people that work and minister in the church is the staff. And so it's not a bad thing. I mean, I would encourage you to pray for the church staff and those that work at ministering the word. Sometimes it's the church leadership. Sometimes it's the people as a whole. But I think how we view the church determines a lot about how we pray for the church. And so if we talk about praying for the church, we generally use that in a rather generic sense. Our prayers are often rather generic. If we refer to it and talk about praying for my church, then our prayers become a little more specific. They involve the people that I interact with, that fellowship together in a location that I attend. But if we move beyond that and talk about praying for Christ's church, then all of a sudden our focus shifts from a place. It shifts from a general collection of people and places. It shifts from me being the center of the focus and who and what revolves around me, to Christ being the center. And when I begin to focus with wisdom, again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And so when I begin to pray with the focus on praying for Christ's church, then all of a sudden He's the center. And my prayers tend to be more involved in what does He want in His church. You see, when I pray for my church, I start to pray about what do I want in my church. And so it may sound like just a simple wording issue, but I think it becomes a powerful tool as we pray for the church to constantly have in our mind that whether we're praying for the church worldwide, whether we're praying for the church locally, we're praying for Christ's church. And then we begin to not only pray according to His wisdom, but we begin to look at it from a different perspective. One of the things that I look at, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." As we look at praying for the church, for Christ's church with wisdom, it's important to recognize that we're not always going to get it right. Even at our greatest desire to pray with wisdom, God says His ways, His mind is so much higher, so much above what ours is. But there's good news that as we pray and live within the Spirit, the Bible says that the Spirit Himself intercedes for us when our words don't make up what we even want to say or even know how to say. And so that's why it's so critical as we pray for Christ's church that we recognize that God's Spirit lives within us. So many times within the Church of Christ, Christian Church Restoration Movement, we're kind of known for our emphasis on immersing people into Christ according to Scripture. But somehow, at least in my experience within this gathering of churches, we're a little hesitant to talk a lot about the Spirit's work in our life. And yet it's within that very act of being immersed into Christ that God says not only are your sins forgiven, but you'll be given the gift of His Spirit. So as we pray for Christ's church with wisdom, we recognize that God's Spirit is within us and intercedes for us when our words fall short. Also, as I consider praying for Christ's church with wisdom, over in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 18, Paul's prays, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength with which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The scriptures that I'm using this morning all have one thing in common. They're scriptural prayers that were prayed for the church. This is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. But in reality, as God inspired and gave us the Word of God, it's Him praying for us as a part of Christ's church. And as he prays for wisdom for the church, he prays that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. And so as we pray with wisdom for Christ's church, we pray that God would enlighten the eyes of our heart, would give us a discernment that His Spirit can give. So we pray for wisdom. Also in Ephesians chapter 3, another Paul again praying for the church. He says in chapter 3, verse 16, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and deep, high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. As we pray with wisdom for Christ's church, we pray that God would make known the power of His Spirit. And I love that phrase, out of His glorious riches. You know, wisdom. Our wisdom, at least my wisdom, is somewhat and often severely limited. And if I pray according to my wisdom, the things that I pray about, to some may look large, to others they'll look small. But to God, they're never complete in my wisdom to what He could and often wants to do. So Paul, as he prays for the church, for Christ's church, he prays that they would be strengthened through His Spirit for the purpose of Christ dwelling within them. And so as we pray for the church with wisdom, we pray that the eyes of our heart are enlightened. We pray that we would know out of God's glorious riches the indwelling of Christ Himself through His Spirit. Also, in Colossians, it's interesting. We look at these, but Colossians 1:9. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul's prayer for Christ's church was that the people would be filled with wisdom. And not just any wisdom, but with God's wisdom, spiritual wisdom. As we think about praying with wisdom for Christ's church, how often do we pray that the people would be filled with spiritual wisdom? You see, when we pray with wisdom for Christ's church, we begin to pray for the people that belong to Christ. That becomes center focus. The other things that go on within the gathering of the body, the buildings, the properties, the programs, the things that are useful tools, but they're not all that important in the scope of eternity if they're not doing the work that Christ has called them to do. You see, what's important in the scope of eternity is the people. And so as we pray with wisdom for the church, we begin to pray for the people. And not just the people that gather, but if your church is like most gatherings, there's a lot of people that have some association with the body that you rarely see. They've given up, as Hebrews they would, they've given up the assembling together for whatever reason. And praying with wisdom for the Christ Church involves praying for people, that their eyes would be open, that their hearts would be filled with a spiritual wisdom, that their mind would grasp just how high and wide and deep and long is the love of Christ. You see, I love the prayers of Paul, partly because he'll put a whole paragraph in one sentence in any of his writing, but his prayers are the same way. Because once he starts praying and talking to God, he just doesn't seem to be able to stop. And as we pray with wisdom for Christ Church, we recognize that His desire is for people. And I wonder, as we consider the church gathering that we're a part of, what our prayer life for the church would look like? Would it be different if we prayed with greater wisdom than what we've ever prayed before? Would the things that we talk to God about, that we ask God about, change? You see, I believe that God has called each of us. And it seems like every generation, He calls people to stand and on behalf of others and to lift them up in prayer. And it's one of the things that I tell people when I teach at events like this. Early on, I would get stressed out about how many people were coming. And it finally reached the point where God just convicted me, I don't need any specific number. That's a human measurement. I need people that want to pursue me. And I can do great things even through one person devoted. And so I'm thankful that you've gathered this morning and have a desire to be that person. Wherever God puts you, and wherever He has you. And we're going to do this in each session. It'll probably look a little different. Some will be individual, some will probably be group. But I've often said, if I teach about prayer and don't give you an opportunity to pray, I've failed. And so each of these four sessions that we're going to do this morning, I'm going to talk for a while like I did now, and then I'm going to ask you to spend some time praying. And so this one, I want you to pray individually, and if you want to, it's a beautiful morning out, if you want to go outside and talk and walk with God, that's fine. But we're going to take about 15 minutes, and so that'll give you time to pray and talk to God. If you need a coffee refill, a bathroom break, we're going to gather back together at 9:45. But spend some time specifically with God, talking to Him about the wisdom that He desires for you to pray with in regard to your local church body, but also in regard to the church as a whole, the gathering of believers around the world. What wisdom does God want you to use? In those areas we talked about, are there specific things that He wants to have a conversation with you about? And so I'm going to pray, and then again, feel free to pray in here, outside, but just spend some time with God and then gather back at 9:45. Father, thank You that You are a God of all wisdom. And Your desire is for us to have a taste of that wisdom. Oh, Your ways, Your wisdom, Your knowledge is so much higher than our own and always will be. But You've put Your Spirit within Your children. You allow Christ to dwell within us through that Spirit. And so, Father, help us as we spend time with You this morning to learn about the wisdom and to practice praying with that wisdom. Father, may we recognize what it is that You want for Your church. And may the wisdom of Christ fill us as we pray for the people that He loves so much. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.